I bring you greetings on behalf of Bonnie and myself. We missed all of our TGP family, and it's been 2.5 weeks now since we've been able to be together in community and communion, and we miss you all very much. Bonnie and I are doing well. We're getting a lot of yard work done and just enjoying really not doing much of anything. We look forward to being able to be more active again and with you guys. The last few days, we began a new study in the book of Ephesians, and hopefully you've been listening to Zach teach out of the first two chapters, and we're going to continue in that today. So we're looking at chapter 3, and there's a couple of "for this reasons" in this passage, and the first one, "for this reason," you need to have heard the first two chapters to make the connections, because it's like a therefore. So let's begin in chapter 3, verse 1, and we're going to read a few verses, and then we'll stop and make a couple of comments. But beginning in verse 1, it says, "For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you heard this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to some of the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God, or by God, who created all things so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence through our faith in him. So I ask you not to lose heart over what I am suffering for you, which is your glory." As we know, Paul said, "I'm a prisoner." And he really was a prisoner. He was in the prison in Rome. And it was because of the message that he was sharing with the Gentiles. So it really was for your sake and for your glory that he was prisoner. He doesn't say that he was a prisoner being held by the Roman government, though he was. He was saying he was a prisoner for the Gentiles. And that was because his bounds or his bonds were the calling that he had. It wasn't necessarily the prison that he was physically in, but he was a prisoner to the calling that he had for the Gentiles. And the revelation of the mystery that now was revealed was that God was no longer just for the Jews, but also for the outsiders, those that weren't a part of the family of God before, was now parties in the inheritance to what that God had given. And that's a big deal. That's for you and I. We were the Gentiles, the outsiders, but God grafted us into the family. I want to just key in on a couple of thoughts that brought out that were kind of repetitive over these first three chapters that Paul talked about. I want to go back and look at chapter 1, verse 6. And I have to take my glasses off so I can read better up close. One more. Verse 6 of chapter 1 says, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us, which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. The riches of his grace, he says in chapter 1, verse 6. Then skip down to verse 18. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance. And then in verse 19, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believed. You see the adjectives Paul uses here to describe God's immeasurable riches, as he did in chapter 2. Verse 7 says, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Thinking about the word immeasurable, obviously it's not measurable. There are no limits, no boundaries to what God has. He said, you kind of fill in the blank of God has no limits. He doesn't run out of what? What does he not run out of? It's unfathomable. So you just kind of fill in the blank as to what that means to you. Sometimes I move around in front of the camera a little bit, so you just tend to not be distracted by that. So much in this chapter to absorb, thinking about how gracious God is and how he's been to us and how he continues to be. And then also just the fact that we are a part of the body. That is beyond immeasurable, too. I know that right now we're going through a lot of trials and tough times for a lot of people. A lot of people are having to struggle with getting out, even going to the grocery store, doing the regular things that we normally would do. A lot of people are having to deal with sickness and dealing with people that are sick. So a lot of things, a lot of troubles that are going through our minds right now. But God is bigger than all of those. And he's not shorthanded. He has all the resources. And why we have to go through these troubles and trials, I really don't know. But I know that it's a part of just this world and the sufferings that we go through. But I want to remind you that we are the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ, and it's not limited to who we are in our small group. We are a part of the worldwide and the galaxy-wide, or however you want to measure it. The part of the church has already gone before that are in heaven now, the part of the church that are going through these difficulties on earth, and then the part of the church that has not even been born yet. So we are a part of God's big forever family, and I want to encourage you that whatever the struggle is that you're going through, be reminded of that. Also be reminded of the resources that God has given us for each other, and make yourself, avail yourself to those resources as you have need, whether it's a financial support or prayer or whatever the need might be. Any of our TGB family, let us know if you have things that you need to be encouraged about or help through, counseled through, any of those things. We'll always be available to help you. I want to close our time together with the second part of For This Reason. And it's a prayer that I want to pray just with the prayer that Paul prayed for you and for me as we go through our time together. So we'll pick up in verse 14 and finish the chapter with the prayer for spiritual strength. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It's been good to be with you. Hope to see you soon. Until then, good day.